So there are a couple things to know as a sort of informed active news consumer, right? A lot of people, want to be informed about their world and so consume all sorts of news, right? You know, on television, in print, on the radio, on the way to work, you know, all sorts of things. But when you consume news with a purpose, there's a couple of things that you should pay attention to that help you when you want to apply media resources for the purposes of your own organization, right? And there are basically two areas of things that you should sort of pay attention to. And the first has to do with news beats, right? Article, right, or story authorship, and what I call sympathies, right? The sympathies of the publication, right? The sympathies of the particular, you know, author, right? The editors and journalists who are responsible for a particular story. And this will help you make a map, right, of the media community that you live in, right? So for instance, as Vanessa was telling us about The Final Call is a Muslim paper, and the things that they write about and endorse are particular to The Final Call, right? You have special, you have a particular kind of interest that journalists there have, and they might cover things that other people don't cover in a way that other people don't cover them, right? This is true in different ways for different papers, and it's important to pay attention, right, to those kinds of things in our news environment, okay? Frames, themes, and messages, okay? So I'm just gonna read in order to be sort of perfectly clear about what I mean by this. So news stories are organized and presented in frames, right? Frames are the organizing ideas or themes which help us put news stories into a context that makes sense, right? The bare facts of a story, who, what, when, and where, cannot explain the how and why by themselves, or how or why by themselves. For that purpose, we need additional information which helps us understand what aspects of the media item or feature are most important, who the key players are, what they want the audience to know, and et cetera, right? A whole lot of other things. So do you see what I mean by frames and framing? Like when you, and this is why I want to talk about, you brought up the example of Katrina, but we could talk about many other different news stories and talk about what are some of the news frames that we saw with these stories and how they differed across media, or if they differed across media, right? Now, Katrina is a big, enormous national news story, and we should also talk about a case of arts, right? Some local arts news framing, and that's why I have some of the example articles, because I figured that many of us would have spent a lot of time watching that news story, right, in the past couple of weeks. Okay, but to go on, with the handout, and then we'll go ahead and talk about the different news stories. When reading a news story, try to pick out what some of the organizing themes are. Here are some common story elements or frames. Conflict, right? And then I have an example. Mr. Brown found himself at an impasse, right? Novelty. Mr. Rove has taken an entirely different approach to the problem of, you know, blah, 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 okay? Sensation or shock. Never before has the dance community seen blah, 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 right? Celebrity. Angelina Jolie joins a short but distinguished list of Hollywood actresses who are also humanitarians, okay? He said, she said, while Mayor Nagin claims that he had trouble getting through the federal government, top officials say that he did not bother to go through the proper channels, okay? Strong imagery, often accompanied by gripping photos, right? Robert was talking about this in reference to Katrina. But here you should look for long conceits or metaphors. So Chicago improv, I'm sorry, that should be improv, is the jazz of the American theater scene, a true and original art form, right? So these are ways, you know, this is sort of the extension of the news hook. Remember last time we were talking about writing press releases, right, and finding the news angle, right? News frames are the explication of that angle, right? They're where we fill it in and give a story meat. And although, you know, the interviewee, the person who's holding the event, the organization who's trying to get their message out doesn't have total control, or even direct control, right, over the news frame, It's important to be aware of news frames that are commonly circulating, right? You know, is it about cutesy kids? Is it about, you know, savants or celebrities? Is it about conflict or protest, right? It's important to be aware of commonly used frames so that you can make your story, right, and the coverage of your event as close to as you would like it as you can, right, as congenial as you can. Thinking about news frames and thinking about some of the stories that affected you most, what kinds of organizing themes jump out at you?
How they say that the Mexican army was bringing a convoy to feed, because then they had to feed like 7,000 people per day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess you could say friends, you know, Hurricane Katrina, then the army, the convoy, and I guess what it got again.
So like, so something that struck you about it was the scale, right?
Right. Yeah, they have it, they talk about Hurricane Katrina, and it had the convoy was coming to feed. Then over here you have that Sweden had things on standby, mm-hmm. and Iran had things on standby, but I guess the government didn't want to deal with Iran and Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Great. So the news frame, right, the frame that jumped out at you was the enormous scale, right, the international scale of the reaction to this natural disaster, right? And then secondarily to that, that conflict that between, right, the international impetus to help and American foreign policy, right, or American political. Yeah, and the finger pointing. Okay, right. And that's a recognizable frame that was named, right? The blame game, right? Right? So that's what I mean by frames. Do other people have examples of stories, right, that we could talk about in terms of the frames that jump out at us, other stories that we found compelling?
On that same note with Katrina, the sensation or shock frame, I think what I noticed is that you can do whatever you want to do when you want to do it, because we had the Black Panther Party mm-hmm. go down and go in and get people, and they maneuvered their way in, and what they said to them is, I'm authorized to come in here, you know, with authority,
mm-hmm.
that authoritative voice. So they just stepped back and let them in and get these people, and even the young brother that took this bus, hotwired
right.
him and
mm-hmm.
went and saved all those lives, they end up arresting him
mm-hmm.
because, or for whatever reason. But I think the shock of everything to me is that something of that magnitude cannot be properly organized. First of all, you're not really prepared for something of that magnitude to happen. And when it does, it's going to be chaos. But I don't think they really understood or had any type of sensation when it came to the people because of them being left there for those number of days. And even so, we just got a report back that they just came back from Louisiana the day before yesterday, and the bodies are still on the ground, and you know, they aren't being picked up or taken to a morgue or some centralized location. And this is just 3 days ago, and you're thinking everything's okay, and that they took care of all of this, but they say there's still a lot of bodies in the homes, and they're Xing them out or just overlooking them, and people are still there, still alive, they had not eaten in 7 days, and it's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still, I think your body's gonna go through some type of transformation when you haven't eaten in that length of time and you're afraid to leave or don't want to go, but.
So the frame that jumped out at you was chaos, right?
Totally.
Chaos.
But in a sense, trying to not bring the religion part in it, but we, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us back in 1930 the different things that were about to take place, and the letters that Minister Farrakhan wrote President Bush when the board first came up, because he's the one who really initiated what was about to take place. And you know, the chastisement, he says, it's gonna be rain, sleet, hail, and snow, and earthquakes. And months later, after he made those announcements, that's when we first had the events going on in California with all these earthquakes, and then the hurricane, then the tsunami, all of this was predicted. So we, in a sense, is prepared. But when you're not doing something right, the chastisement that's going to fall upon you, and it's not the, from my perspective, it's the elements of nature is that's going to take care of it. So my mindset, when all that happened, it was almost like a revelation type of thing that happened with me. It's like, okay, whatever's going on in Louisiana, that how they're treating those people, sometimes you have to be broken down in order to build up, but not in a sense of causing lives or, you know, catastrophes or anything like that. But
did you see some of that? You mentioned one word, right? Revelation or revelatory. That's another, right? That goes right along with sensation and shock, right? In terms of a kind of news frame that, I mean, that I think was absolutely present in the sort of the story about Hurricane Katrina, right? You saw reporters like breaking down on television and, you know, things that you never see,
absolutely.
Right? So I think that's right. I think that, you know, picking out that frame is also true. There were other things, right, that happened. I know that you're new and you just got here, but do you understand what we're talking about in terms of news frames and framing, right, and how important framing is? So we're just kind of using Katrina as an example for right now, and then we're going to refer to these articles, which are more art-focused, right, our art and cultural humanities-focused, and sort of employ the skills that we've learned through the discussion to those articles. But if you want to, like, break in with a story that caught your eye, it could be a Katrina or not, you know, it could be something completely different. And the different kinds of frames that might have been utilized in telling the story. And remember, I also want to pay attention to distinctions between the media as well, right? Because that's part of what Phyllis brought up before about being a good news consumer. When you consume a diverse sort of diverse media, you notice the differences between how they cover, what they cover, what's interesting to them. And that's good for us, right, as just consumers who want information, but particularly as people who represent organizations, right, who might need to utilize these resources, right? So, and Robert, you had your hand up, but did you have any? No? Okay.
Another thing, like dealing with the frames is dealing with Hurricane Katrina, is how the government was going to give people $2,000, each family $2,000. And I think Walmart was saying that the people who worked at Walmart, they can go to any Walmart that's where you're located and they have a job to work. And what else was that? And then this incident with Kanye West and Barbara Bush, you know, the different frames, so.
Right, work with, tell me more about that, about what are the different, because you've been telling me sort of news points of information, but how were those stories told?
Well, basically, like with Kanye West, he was like, the president didn't give care about blacks. Then you have Master P coming along and say, well, we need the president, we need the government. And then he was trying to use it like, well, Kanye was trying to do this because he had an album coming out and things to that nature. So, you know, you have different things than the comment that Barbara Bush had made, that the New Orleans is living better now than what they was living at the time when it was. So basically, you know, you got different things, different angles, and different prospects of different frames dealing with Hurricane Katrina. Then you have people that was going to get the $2,000 that wasn't even from New Orleans. Then you got things going on in the cities now where people just saying they from New Orleans, can you help them? Things like that in the nature. So it's a lot of lot of different interesting things that's going on now that you're seeing in the news, you know, the calls, the facts, the good, the bad.
I'm sorry. Let's just take, I just want to work with this example because I think it's a really good example of the Kanye West story, right? Versus the Barbara Bush story, right? And
everybody in the room knows the basics of the stories, right? But I want to focus on how the stories are covered
because the frame is not the information contained in the story, right? It's the way that the story is told, right? So for instance, with the Kanye West story, right? And we can think of specific places that we read about it, right? Or if we happen to see, like if you were watching television at that moment, right? Then you get the story firsthand, right? Sort of unfiltered. Or, you know, there's been lots of coverage in the Chicago Tribune, right? Lots of coverage on the internet. I mean, lots of different sources that you might get that information from. Right, on the radio, exactly. Right, there was that whole parody released. Right, that was
right. I think, like they say, you know what I'm saying, the way they play Kanye West is like, how dare you?
Good. So like an outrage frame, like, right?
You know, and then, you know, they played it for half of the country, the other half, you know what I'm saying? They blocked it out so people hear what he said, but, you know, you got the internet, it ain't shouted around the world, you know, what Kanye said. Then here you got Master P who's from down there. It's like, why don't you say that we need the government, we need the president? But you know, hey, you know, everybody has their opinion. You know? I figure if you just cross the president and cross the government out, you'll have more help. Because that's my opinion, you know, I just say it like that.
Okay, but I think you picked out the frame, right, which is the outrage frame, right? And I was also thinking, particularly the coverage in the Chicago Tribune was skeptical, right, a skepticism frame, right? Like sort of, and we're gonna see sort of how this happens, right? Because how do you, right, dealing with the same facts, how do you have different frames for the same set of facts, right? Mm-hmm. You can have different frames for the same set of facts. Right, and it's okay to have different frames for the same set of facts, right? Different places have different interests in terms of the story, right? Some story, it depends on the angle that they're taking on the event, right?
And then it's how it's projected, just like with the $2,000 debit card. They were on CNN, just really having a field day with it. Wow, how could they dare go to Victoria's Secret and Hooters and all these other places? And one of the reporters was saying, first of all, you go to Victoria's Secret, you can buy 6 pair of panties for $12. That's a bargain. Hooters has the best buffalo wings, it's only $5. So they were saying that the places that they were utilizing the cars, I guess they figured it should have only been used at Target or Walmart, and they were using it from other places.
Right.
One person was at this bar, and I used the car at a bar, and the reporter was saying, it's okay to have a beer. My goodness, look what they just went through. Mm-hmm. So it was like they were really downplaying the places that they were utilizing their cars, but if you look at how much they were spending, it was only $5, $8 here. Right. You know, it wasn't no real hundreds of dollars. And they even mentioned Circuit City. Mm-hmm. Who could possibly want anything from Circuit City? But someone went there to buy some books or videotapes to soothe their children. So it's all who's saying what's going on and how they're utilizing it. It's that person. So now you have this negative image of like, oh my goodness, they just wasting those debit cards when realistically, if you look into it, what did they actually use the money for? It wasn't to buy a television just because they went to Circuit City or Victoria's Secret to buy all this lavish, you know, nightwear or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just to get the basic essential, be it Target, Walmart, so anyway, still almost basically paying the same kind of money. So. Mm-hmm.
Great, so there are lots of different ways to look at a story, right? That's exactly the point of this session, right? That there are lots of different ways to look at any one story, right? And it really matters if you're trying to get your story out there and you want it covered, right, from the point of view, from your point of view or similar to your point of view, you have to understand that there are lots of different ways to look at a story and be clear about the way that you would like your story looked at, right? Yeah. Right? So that's what we're gonna do. After doing a few more exercises that are a little bit more focused on arts and humanities in Chicago, that's why you have the articles there, right? And picking out the frames in each one of these articles, we're gonna work through events, examples that come from your own organizations, right? Because that's sort of the workshop aspect of it, is to just do it, you know? Okay, a few things just before we get started. Because of like audiovisual limitations, I didn't bring in, a show from NPR, right? Like I didn't bring in Hello Beautiful, although I could have, right? I don't have a tape from Can TV, but that doesn't mean I want to ignore those media, right? Radio and television, particularly locally produced radio and local television, are extremely important resources, media resources. For organizations, but print media is easier to get your hands on. So that's what we're working with here. In terms of all media, right, but particularly print media and radio media, there are three basic kinds, right, of coverage that you can get. Well, perhaps four, right? One is announcements, and this is part of what Phyllis was talking about before. Almost every newspaper and the radio station, also CanTV, has a section for announcements, right? Things that are happening in the community, right? This also happens online. There are lots of different sites like MetroMix, City Search, Center Stage, which contain a section for community announcements, right? And basically, that's text that is normally authored by the organization, involved, or at least dictated to whoever is in charge of those pages. And it's a perfectly good source, way to get the word out, particularly about events. It's not the best way for messaging, right? If you are, an organization that basically you have a campaign to raise awareness about the danger of Southside Parks, right? The dangers of crime posed to Southside Parks or something, and you're not having an event, announcements are not the way to go. You want to do one of these three, or you want to have one of these three other things, right, if you're more concerned about messaging than publicizing an event. These things are articles, features, and editorials. Usually articles stick pretty closely to the who, what, where, and when, and only have a few sentences about the how and why. Okay? There's not a lot of room for speculation. They often also employ the organizing frame of he said, she said. Some people say this, and others say this, and then they just tell you who, what, when, where, and why, right? You'll notice that in the article, okay? The feature example is from the Reader, the Chicago Reader. And features are a good place to talk about the experience of individuals, right, or groups, or an organization, right? You're like, yes, my paper. That's what we do in my paper. There you go. This features are often presented, as this is one story of many, right? And although it's not necessarily meant to be representative or to stand in for the entire experience, it is supposed to be our lens into a particular experience, right? Features are really great to have if, for your organization, right? They're good for both, announcement, publicity, but also messaging, right? If you have a particular message that you want to get out through your organization, features are a wonderful resource for that if you can get one. But in order to get a feature slot, there are a couple of conditions that you probably need to meet, and one of them is a relationship with the media. And we'll talk about that in later sessions, but okay.
And consistency.
That's key. Okay. Right, absolutely. And then the last example is from the Chicago Defender. right? And this is kind of a an editorial style society pages entry, right? And when I say society pages, I mean this is not an article because it doesn't necessarily tell us, there aren't necessarily a lot of facts about who, what, when, where, why that we need to know, right? Mostly what it's concerned with was who, right? Who was there? What were they wearing? What were they doing? Why were they celebrating, right? Okay. And it's highly, and I put it sort of in the editorial section, not because it has an argument about what was good about the event, which normally an editorial would have, but because it is very much celebratory, not at all trying to be objective, and it's, you know, it's the 100th anniversary of the Chicago Defender, and they're just celebrating. We're also looking at the images there, right? The deep water, party world, the porch, okay. Okay.
You know, basically looking at it, like I said, if you haven't even seen things that happened in, you know, New Orleans, then you look at this, then you read down here in Chicago and it's trying to stick you out in NOLA, GULA, then you get to read.
Great. So in a certain way, the story is self-encapsulated, right? It stands alone.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And they really make good of the photos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, images are absolutely a part of the story, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really important for small cultural and arts organizations, right? Because a lot of times we have these amazing events, right? These amazingly visually stunning events, and nobody records them, right? Nobody has any pictures of them, you know? And so then it's tough. You know, to give people a sense of what was going on. Other things?
It took me on a personal journey to read this. It was like a storytelling, so it wasn't so much like a news feature article. It was I got something to say. Let me tell my story, and that's how I got into reading practically all of it.
It drew you in, right? It had a certain tone that was like someone personally telling you a story,
right?
It didn't seem detached. It seemed immediate, right there. Good.
It seemed like the media, they were putting down the phony shield and bring out the inner self.
Mm-hmm. It didn't seem phony.
It's not black people in these photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a we story for us.
Good. So differences from, this is great. This brings us around to the next question, right? How else the story might have been told, right? It's relationships to similar stories that were told, right? Is that what you're saying? So
this story focuses on white Chicago artists
and is told in this very intimate, as Robert has said, tone of voice, right? This very we, us, you know, any one of us could have been there going through this thing. That's good, that's really good. And that's also a frame, right? We, us, our. So let's expand a little bit more on imagine how else this story might have been told, right? The story with the same facts, these people are in this place. How else might the story have been told? How else might it have been framed? Vanessa?
It was us, we would have been mad as hell. Story trapped, can't get out, nobody's here to rescue us. It's all peace. You know, it's forceful when it comes to us telling the story. This one here is almost on the common serene.
Serene.
You know, where you just, okay, this is what they did. They took some shrimp, they put it in a compost pot so they could eat. And
right.
Whereas we probably wouldn't have seen us looting. I mean, the way they portray us, we're looting and not actually looking for food to eat because they had food. We don't have food, so now it's just...
Right.
You know, it's just, I think, had it been a story on blacks that was told, there would have been a little bit more anger in it because of what they had to endure in the waiting process. You very seldom, or they very seldom, capture us in that type of moment when we're calm or not mad or pissed off about something, you know. Find a black family that's sitting there and just saying, yeah, we just sitting here waiting to storm out and we're just waiting for help.
Now, but this is wonderful, okay? So because, look, Because do you think that this is really a story that was absent of tension, right? Right? Do you think that they were very, very calm and serene? No, but that's the way, you're absolutely right, Vanessa, that the story is told. There's one moment at the end of the article where, but this story is meant to be a calming survivor story, right? Mm-hmm. It is supposed to be a story that makes you feel like we went through this thing and it was tough, but we stuck together and we are artists and we are witty and we survived, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I'm not criticizing the way the story was told. I enjoyed reading it, you know. But it might have been told to play up the tension that was most certainly there and even peeks through, right, in certain points in this article where he says the men went off carousing, right, and the women were at home and didn't know where they had gone and woke up in the middle of the night, right? And I believe that the words they use is they were frightened and alone, and when the guys got back, one of them, Raven, put her foot down and said that they were leaving the next day. That's the only moment of tension in the story. And I remember thinking when I read the story the first time, I wonder what that was like or what that was about and if it was the extension of other things. But the way the story is told, right? Raven put her foot down and they left the next day and it was fine.
Right.
Right? Okay, so that's just what I want to point out, right? This, it doesn't mean that the story isn't true, right? The story is true, but it might have been told truly a completely different way.
And okay. They could have taken the same story and they could have said, just God help us all. And it would have changed the whole story.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And that's what they would have done for us, you know.
Great. Good. These are important things to notice, right? Because then now we understand how a line, right, a quote, whatever, can change the entire frame, the entire way that a story is told. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference, right? Okay, good. So were there other things that jumped out at people from other articles, or are we good on that?
I had kind of read this article in the Herald of, you know, about the demolition of the property, and it, you know, it just kind of brought back that regardless of the buildings that we have that we give a lot of credibility to, you know, that we appreciate when progress moves in and, you know, these things just have to go. In other words, this building is demolished. Yeah, it was a historical building, but it too has to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And it's just information, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I don't know what to say about these. I guess because renovation or gentrification is happening so much in not just our communities here, but across the nation, period, that so many historical things are just falling down. So it's like a end to the stability of things that meant so much because other things are just going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of look at this like, oh well, and accept it.
Okay. That's good, right? So you come away with the impression of, oh well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of accept it. And I wonder if that's a part of the way the story is framed, right? So I kind of want to draw your attention to your attention to the sort of beginning of the story, right? Because as you said, this is a short article full of a lot of information, right? Where the building is, what the schema is for categorizing whether buildings are historic or not. You know, it has a lot of useful information. But just in the very beginning, right, what makes it an article and not just sort of a listing of statistics is the first part, right? And it says, in the coming weeks, 112-year-old limestone in Hyde Park's west side will come down to make room for the University of Chicago's new Center for Biomedical Discovery. Once a comely residence with stout granite columns capped by crisp Corinthian capitals, 5623 South Drexel Avenue has been gutted of nearly everything but the fireplace, and sunlight shines unabated through a hole in the attic ceiling. To some, the pending demolition is a harbinger of progress. To others, an act of pillage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the story sort of goes on, and the story doesn't take a position on whether it is one or the other. Right? It doesn't actually have quotes from people on both sides, right? And that's fine. I'm not faulting the story, but I just want you to notice that this is one of the common frames that is in your handout, the he said, she said frame, right?
I was going to say, it says the university to demolish, meaning they're going to tear it down. But reading it, I got the understanding that they were only renovating it because, from my understanding, you're not supposed to demolish a historical property. So are they just renovating it or are they tearing it down? Because it's almost like a mixed message to me from the headline, university to demolish. Demolish means to tear down, to sort of get rid of. But then it just said, when you read on, it would just gut it out except for the fireplace. So it's really not being demolished, it's just being renovated. It's what I get out of this. So
I don't know,
what is it?
That's great, contradictory frames, right? So the headline makes it seem like there's something really dramatic happening, right? And then in the article, you find out that it's actually something slightly different, right? So there are two different frames being used in the headline and in the substance of the article. Good, great, okay. That's also something to notice about the paper itself, right? In terms of what kinds of, you know, just like we noticed with the Chicago Defender has a new website and it's sort of, you know, it's important to notice the different ticks that papers might have, right? Things that they, you know, certain authors, and I should say journalists, not necessarily authors, right? And papers might have habits of doing that we should be aware of, like misframing a story in the title and having a different frame in the text, right? Or other things like that. I mean, these are just things to notice so that we know what we're getting into, right? When we are coming up with media strategies, developing our strategies for being good interviewees. These are all things that we'll talk about as we go on. Okay, so now that we've sort of been through these things, and I think that we all have a really good idea of what frames are, right, and how important framing is, I want to use some examples from your own organizations, right? Some of the things that you want to do, right, in terms of publicizing events or messaging or whatever. What are some of the stories that come out of the work you do, right? And how might you frame those stories, right? And we can just brainstorm about that for a little while.
I would say with the Financial newspaper, it's pretty much a very conservative paper. There's a lot of stories we do not cover that the Defender, like who got shot on the block type of thing. We don't cover those type of events. We do a lot of fact-finding, which makes our paper more truthful with substance, because if we go on somebody else's word and we find out that that's not necessarily true without us investigating, because a lot of people call in with stories, I mean, that's so far-fetched. And I said, well, we have to investigate this in order. We have different ministers and different local mosques throughout the nation that if we find out that it may be like last year, this lady called to say that there was this guy hung noosed right across from her, and she said she has photos and everything, so I didn't want to dismiss that call because we do get some calls in. So I said, well, we will have to investigate it first. Can you email some photos? Can you give me your phone numbers and find out it was true right across her backyard? But then she had evidence and proof before they took him down. Somebody was actually hung last year in St. Louis. It was just so far-fetched to believe, but in order to take that, I mean, what I'm trying to say, we just didn't take that story and run with it, or even with the photos, we still had to have one of our locals investigate and find out the actual facts of it before we even ran it. I mean, it may have been a couple days later from the other stories, but at least we had 100% actual facts of what went on, what took place before the police, the sheriff, and all of them got into it with their point of view of what actually happened. So,
and do you remember what the frame was, or what your frame would be, right, when you ran it? Like, you get, like, you know, you get this call. How did you tell that story?
I went to my editor and I told her that I didn't give her the call because I wanted to make sure. I just don't just hand her calls. I said, there's a lady calling from St. Louis that says she has photos of this man that's hung from a tree across from her yard. And I think we need to investigate. She has photos. She's going to email us the photos. She said she did not call the police because she wanted to make sure the final call, but she knew we would tell the truth about what happened before all the other local newspapers got a hold to it and started downplaying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, you know, it was suicide, that type of thing. So we made some calls in St. Louis and got some people on it. And mm-hmm. they got their report, and even with the local police out there, the sheriffs and whatnot, they, of course, first thing that happened, they tried to say it was suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he was hung and, you know, tied up, it was impossible
mm-hmm.
for him to noose himself from where he was and to have himself tied up and to noose himself and then to drive. So,
okay.
That was like a national story. That went into our national category because that was something that was, you know, across the nation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are a couple things I heard, right, in the way that you told the story, right? First of all, you told it as an exclusive, right? We got the story first, mm-hmm. right? And then you had some really strong imagery to work with, right? You had the photographs, right? You also had, and imagery is not just photographs, right? It can also be the symbolic image, right, that it comes to mind, right? So, you know, imagery is what, you know, or a history of symbols that surround a certain object, right? Like a flag or, you know, a particular dock or a historic building or lynching, which is basically what you're talking about, right? These are symbols that carry a lot of weight, right? So you had some really strong imagery to work with, okay? And then you also seem to have a frame of contradiction, right? In terms of this is what really happened, right? This is the true story, and these are the stories that are coming out now. So there was contradiction and conflict in that way, right, over those stories. So there's a lot of different things, you know, in the way that story was told. You also described to a certain extent the way that the story was told in other places, right? Other frames, right? A tragedy frame. It was a horrible suicide. It's so sad, and we're so sorry, right? So that's a totally different frame. It's not the frame that your paper chose to use, right? But it's important to know sort of what's out there, and that's what that woman in calling you was trying to have her influence felt on, the way the story would be framed. I want to have influence on how this story is told.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Examples from other organizations or from other work that people do?
Well, I write for a publication, The Pub Report, so we do urban entertainment. Mm-hmm. So it's good to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Good. Phyllis?
Our organization, who I don't write for.
Oh, that's fine, right? This is right.
Mm-hmm. Our difficulty is, or our problem is, what would you say, convincing or word usage, titles that grab, that attract attention. We do workshops on prejudice, racism, and internalized depression.
Mm-hmm.
Back to something, again, with Katrina, that people really don't want to discuss, the racism issue. And it's difficult, you know, to get someone involved in it. It's difficult to get someone to come to the workshops. We do workshops for companies that call when they have a problem in race relations. They want to say race relations. So it just this is really why I'm here to learn how to market this, how to convince, what captures, what words can be used. Now, when Katrina happened, the first thing, sensation for me, it wasn't shock, because
mm-hmm.
I don't think that the society has really advanced very far. This was real to me, the imagery that I saw, because this is really how it is to me.
Right.
So this is what we do as an organization. We step in and we say, how can we make this better? How can we deal with the issue of prejudice, racism, internalized depression? But then it's just more than that, because it's about you. It's about how far we've really come. And that's a dilemma, mm-hmm. trying to find out how to do that. It just does not hold people's interest. They don't want to admit their human frailties. They don't want to talk about how, you know, we have really not gone as far as we should have at this time.
Let's brainstorm a little bit about this, because I think that you have picked one of the subject matters that is the most difficult to frame around. There are some issues that, many issues, right? Not just some issues, but there are many issues that you can sort of tell a story from many different perspectives, and people are willing to more or less accept those many different viewpoints, right? So for instance, in the feature that we had from the reader, if they had told that story as a story of, you know, God help us, we're so panicked, right? We would have accepted that story, right? I mean, there's not any sort of, you know, large social resistance to, you know, the story could be calm and serene as it was, right? Or it could be panic, you know? There are some issues, however, that are really, really difficult to frame, right? And especially to reframe, right? And you've picked perhaps the biggest one, right? So I think it's really useful for us in the last couple of minutes that we have to try to brainstorm, right, on how it is that you do create effective messages and messaging around this kind of work and work to do with race and prejudice, right? So tell me a little bit more, tell us all a little bit more about this workshop, the services that your organization, first of all, what's it called?
Mm-hmm. It's called Healing Our Nation Network.
Okay, Healing Our Nation Network. Okay, and so if you, and so you all deal with companies as well as who else?
Incidences that happen on college campuses.
Okay, so companies and universities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and your service that you provide is?
Is a workshop.
Okay, a workshop.
An educational workshop.
An educational workshop that tells about?
The root of prejudice. We tell stories, personal stories. I guess the best way to say it's a mission. Our mission is to educate and to organize citizens on a local and a national level to overcome prejudice, to overcome personal prejudice and institutionalized prejudice through education.
Okay, so it's a 12-part educational series mm-hmm. on the impact of race in America?
Yes. Race on a global.
On a global scale,
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that we have all of this information, right, and there are lots of writers in the room too, so I'm happy you guys can, you know, be a part of this effort. Okay, so now that we have this information about what Healing Our Nation does, right, mm-hmm. if you were going to do a story about it, right, if you were going to do a story about, you know, what this organization is, what the 12-part series is, you know, why people should be interested in it, you know, what would you say? What would we say, right? How would we tell that story? First of all, what is the story, right? What is the story? And second of all, how would we tell it, right? And you should be thinking about it too, right? Because that's part of what, you know, you have to figure out what is the story mm-hmm. around our organization. You want people to cover it, but what's the story for them, right? Okay. And then the second thing we should figure out is how do you tell that story, you know?
Yeah.
What are the ways, you know, there are, like we've been talking about, there are lots of different ways to tell a story. What's the way, or one of the ways that could be most effective? Right.
And one of our most difficult situations is getting African Americans to come, because we have changed our name. First it was Healing Racism, and we changed our name because then we didn't have enough African American, black or other, you know, participation, because as soon as you allude to anything that sounds like racism, well, then what's the first thing someone like who said, well, it's not my problem? We have that problem. Then, of course, European Americans would say, well, it's, I don't want to face that anymore. You know, well, aren't we doing better? You know, do we have to keep doing this? You know, and then comes Katrina and the stadium and the slave ship and the images, and we're still there. How do I sell this?
That's
importance.
Okay, good. Also, we should be aware, I didn't say this before, of audience, right? So, sell it to who? Right?
Okay.
Like, who's your audience? And that doesn't, like, who's your, you might have different frames for different audiences.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But just keeping that in mind. So, why don't we take 5 minutes, right, to brainstorm about this, and answer those three questions, right? Okay, what's the story? Okay, how do we want to tell the story? And who are we telling the story to?
Okay, how racism affects society?
You know, the false sense of entitlement.
Okay.
Damage.
Okay, damage, entitlement, okay. I like the effects, right? The story is effects, so it's an ongoing story, right? It's not necessarily event dependent, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that you might be able to do a feature on, mm-hmm. right? Or have a feature done on, right? Okay, if it's framed that way in terms of ongoing effects, then that's gonna be your best bet, right? And that's gonna require a particular kind of relationship with whatever media or interest from, right? Whatever media you're interested in, right? It's tough to get to solicit through a press release or a first-time cold call or whatever, a feature story, right, about an ongoing issue. That's tough. That might be part of your problem in terms of getting coverage, right, getting the word out about this organization. However, if you work at a paper, right, and you work at a paper, that's great, you know. That's a perfectly good story, you know, to have. What are some other possibilities for the answer to the question, what is the story?
What is the story? Are just the racism and how do we tell a story? It has to have some type of impact.
So for you though, the story is racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's another sort of ongoing frame, right? An ongoing story frame, right? That's completely appropriate to your newspaper, right? To the way, because it's a perennial concern. It's really tough unless you already know about the commitments of the medium that you're interacting with to get coverage for an ongoing, always relevant story, right? So these frames, you know, racism, coping with racism, these things are always happening. You have what's the story that can talk about healing, right, using a concrete example, but covering an ongoing, ever-relevant issue,
mm-hmm.
okay? So then what about how the story is told, right? Vanessa was talking about how important it is the story, how important it is how the story is presented visually, right, on the page, what images are used, all of that's really important. But in terms of framing, right, framing the story, how do we tell the story? How do you tell this story about healing, right? With the bullet point, the hook of hurricane, racial healing, right? Healing racial divisions, right? With the hook of Hurricane Katrina, how do you tell that story? What kinds of frames do you want to employ? Vanessa, you said something about truth-telling, right? You wanted to have a raw, personal perspective. That's a certain way to tell the story, right? It gives you a truth-telling frame, right? You could also tell the story in a frame that's relatively common, right? Particularly for ongoing issues, all kinds of ongoing issues. You could use it for environmental concerns. You can use it for racism, right? You can use it for sexism. Any of the isms you can use it for. And other ongoing concerns is we've come this far, but we have further to go, right? This is a frame that's very, very familiar and also effective, right, in terms of it's a good way to bring people into the story.
I think these are really good questions about the images, right, that you brought up. Is the image tired, right? Is it novel? Is it so novel as to be incomprehensible, right? It's an important to strike a balance, right, of an image that has impact, goes along with the story, but doesn't turn people off because they think this, they already know what the story says, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really good. So I just want to go ahead and wrap up. Hopefully from this session, you all have an idea of what frames are, right? Why they're important, right? And why they're important, not just as news consumers, but why they're important for people who want to apply the media resources in the environment, right? The media environment that they exist in, right? As organizations and as individuals. Next time, we are going to be talking about, the next session is going to be held on Tuesday, October 18th. At the same time, 6 to 7:30. And next time we're going to be talking and working particularly with practicing our pitch.